Okay, thank you, and good morning again for the second session. I'm going to change gear a little bit and move into something a little bit different from microbial communities. And what we're going to do today is talk a little bit about some of the source tracking work that we've been doing in a very unique watershed in Southern California. As you can see, this watershed here you have is in the middle of between Riverside, San Bernardino County, Los Angeles County, and Orange County. And the unique thing about this watershed is that we have, as of 2005, about 250,000 cattle, many dairy cattle in about a 30,000 square acre area. And this watershed used to be, or may still be, one of the watersheds that has the highest concentration of cattle, many dairy cattle in the United States. And also the watershed is impacted by about 2 million people. This second point here is what we all should be very careful, because the river itself is the main source of domestic water supply to residents of Orange County. So basically, Orange County Water District gets most of their domestic water use from the Santa Ana River. And the river itself, or the Middle Santa Ana River itself, is undergoing a lot of drastic changes. As you can see, that there are a lot of cattle moving out to other parts of the states, like the San Joaquin Valley and to the Central Valley or to the Imperial Valley, and also moving out to other states like Colorado and Idaho. So we are trying to give some of our cattle away to some of those other states. And with all these cattle moving out, you have developers moving in to make use of the land for nice looking huge single family homes. So there's a lot of things, a lot of dynamic changes going on in the watershed. You have the cattle moving out, and you have single family homes coming in into this area. And because of these changes that is going on in the watershed, we started this study about 2004, and mainly with the two main goals. The first one is monitoring changes in the E. coli population in the sediment and also in the surface water of the Middle Santa Ana River, and mainly to use this information for microbial source tracking or for bacterial source tracking. And the second objective is really the one that I've been very interested, just a matter of looking at the variations in the E. coli genotype from different isolates in this natural environment, because since we know that this is impacted by different inputs, so we decided to use a pulse field gel electrophoresis for our finger printing techniques. I think that is not earthquakes. But what we use here is that we use a fingerprinting technique which has a very high discriminatory power for our fingerprinting technique. And what happens here is that we collected samples from about 17 locations throughout the watershed. When we do the sample collections, we always collect the runoff or the water sample first before we collect the sediment sample, because there's always a tendency for resuspension of sediments into the surface water. And all the samples were grown on colored media, and 100 microliters of the positive samples were taken out and regrown on the chromagar E. coli for isolation. Then those samples were typed by pulse field gel electrophoresis. These are the sites that the sampling site or some of the sampling sites that we use. I decided to put this figure in just for this map in for simplicity. You have here in this channel, which is the Cypress channel, the S6, S7, and the S8. This channel is highly impacted by agricultural activities, which is mainly dairy cattle, and this area here is highly impacted by urban activities. This is where you have most of the population density in this area. And the land use, as you can see, the S1 site, which is our control site, at the open space area, this is about 4 meters up in Mount Baldy. Most of the flow from this area is from the melting snow from Mount Baldy. And you have other sites here like the S13 and the S14, which are mainly from wastewater treatment plants. I'm going to summarize this data because during the process we collected other fecal indicator bacteria. But what we have here is that we have E. coli population in the surface water on the average of about 10 to the 2 to about 10 to the 5. And when you look at in the sediment or in the soil, we have an E. coli population of on the average of about 10 to the 3 to about 10 to the 6. And when you go to the wastewater treatment plant and also in the open space out there in Mount Baldy, you have an E. coli concentration of less than 10 to about 10 to the 2 on the average. So once we collected all our samples, the next thing that we did was to run them through pulse field gel electrophoresis to look at similarities in the genotypes of all of our E. coli. I decided to show about 4 slides here to summarize most of our findings, because everything is gives you a very good idea of what is going on in the watershed. The first one will be what we found along similarities of isolates along the Cypress Channel, which is mainly affected by agricultural activities, and what we found along Chino Creek in the soil, which is mainly affected by urban runoff. This is also urban runoff and from the wastewater treatment plant and open space. I know that this is going to be very difficult for everybody sitting out there to try to interpret and look at the similarity indices using a Jacquard analysis, but we've tried to summarize this in the stack graph so that we can see. I'm not going to try to do the comparison from between this and this, but you can see what we have here from the F6. These are the Cypress Channel that is impacted by ARC activities. What happens here when you look at a particular site on December 2004, all the isolates, about 24 isolates, are about 50% similar to each other. So what we have here is that these isolates are not, when you get them from a particular site, they are not the same. They are not the genotype. They are not 100% similar. So what we have here, then you move to the next site, this S7, this is about 45%. Then on the same sampling date, you look at it, this is about 52%. You move to the other side, you have approximately about the same thing. So the information that we have here is that the samples, the E. coli isolates that we have from Cypress Channel, from the water sample, were about 45% to about 70% similar, looking at site by site specifically. And when you look at what happens, this is the same information again, then we move on to the stack graph. When you look at what happened along Chino Creek, you see you have the same result, basically coming up with the same result, except in a few cases here where there is almost 100% similarity. The reason for that is that these were clonal populations. I went back and looked at this and found out that these were all clonal populations. That is why we have that level of similarity. But those that were non-clonal population, in the water or in the soil sample, you have about 45% to about 65% similarity. And when you look at the water samples, you come up with the same thing, except a few clonal population that we have here is the same information that you have about 45 to about 65 or 70% similarity. So what is going on here is that we were thinking that when we get to the open space where we basically have flow from the from the melting snow or from the wastewater treatment plant, that everything will be, that the clonal pop or the variability will be about 100%, that there will be 100% similar. But that is not the case. This is open space, about 70% similar, and this is another open space which is also about 70% similar. You look at it, this is wastewater treatment plant, and you go over here and look at another wastewater treatment plant. And what we come up here in conclusion, let me go to number two, is that E. coli isolates were very diverse, and there was no evidence that a small number of environmental adapted isolates represent dominant population from surface water or sediment throughout the watershed. And those of you that have typed E. coli, you will agree that this is mainly what happened in a lot of watersheds or maybe from our primary sources. And there are a number of studies that have actually that just been published recently from, I think from Texas A&M, that have actually done the comparison looking at the pulse field electrophoresis and other fingerprinting techniques, and they have come up basically to almost the same conclusion that we have here. And my take-out message here is that bacterial source tracking based on E. coli will require very extensive number of strains to account for high diversity of isolates found in the watershed. And also, BSC with E. coli alone may not provide the best answer for source identification, but a combination of E. coli with other indicator bacteria that is more stable in the environment needs to be pursued vigorously. Most of you in this area will know that a lot of that is going on in different labs, and a lot of publication that coming in recent years. And thank you. Yes, we though I did not show that here, we when we did the typing, we included generic E. coli and a pathogenic E. coli that we got from our ATCC and those that we have from our lab. This E. coli here from the environment, they are basically about 45 to about 65% similar to those generic E. coli and the pathogenic E. coli that we bought from ATCC.